CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, and we are live on Cliff Central with Lebang and Gareth. Yes, there we are. That's the way to start your Wednesday morning. And then, right. So, Lebang has returned triumphantly. She was at Rocking the Daisies. How did that go?
I think a little bit too much rocking occurred because I'm still recovering from all the rocking. No, it was very, oh, yeah? Very nice. Yeah, it was too much. It was too much fun. Very little sleep, too much walking. You know, if I had one of those smartwatches that count steps, I think per day I did like 18,000 steps. It was crazy. Wow. But it was dope. Music, yeah. It was a lot of walking.
Is that steps or dance steps?
I think... No, it's actual walking from one tent to the other, trying to find one performance and then trying to get back to where I sleep. But it was very, very cool. Very, very nice. I left my voice there.
How many performances are on at a thing like this? I mean, I haven't been to one of these for ages. So you have to fill me in. Like, how does it all work?
So for this particular event, there were like 5 different stages with like different genres that are playing throughout. So at any time of the weekend, you can go to whichever stage you want. But I'd say performances start, well, the music switches on at like 8 a.m. and it switches off at 4 a.m. So from 8 a.m. to 4 a.m., like there's this music going on the whole time. There's an app where you can check what time your favorite artist will be performing. So yeah, there's a lot of exhaustion, of course, a lot of walking around. But it's just interesting, like meeting people from all over the world. You know, you hear all sorts of accents. You'll be walking past one stage and you hear Guten Morgen, and you're like, whoa, people actually flew all the way from there, you know, just to come and check it out. And yeah, it's really dope. It was nice. Can't wait to do it again.
That's very cool. How nice.
Very cool. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
how long is the whole thing? Do you go for
Friday,
like the whole
yeah, so it's Friday night, till Sunday.
Night.
Yeah, Friday night, Saturday night, you can camp there or you can like, you know, drive back and forth. And then on Sunday, what they do is they fly some of the performers out to Joburg so that if you weren't able to do the Cape Town leg, which was like a full weekend, you can just go for one day in Joburg. So, yeah, it's pretty well thought out. It's literally one of like the top 20 festivals in the world. Like, it's that good. So,
all right.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
How cool is that?
Yeah. It was very cool. Very, very cool. But I will admit, I was very exhausted. Like, I just, at some point, I'm like, damn, I miss my kids. Like, I was on the dance floor, like, thinking, like, did I leave enough nappies? Okay, there's enough more. Like, I couldn't just, help that.
Yeah, I'm afraid, like, that's always going to be there, right? That's like your number one priority. So even if you are like relaxed and having a good time and actually treating yourself to something, which every parent should do, let's be clear, there's still that worry in the back of your mind. You're like, what about this? What about that?
Yeah.
Even if you left the kids with a family member who you know is very responsible, you're still sitting there going, what did I do properly? Shame, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. It wasn't a bad thing. It was just like, good.
There's never going to be total relaxation, right? That's just the sad reality for you.
Well, not for the next 18 years, no. After that, I'm out.
Not even 18 years. Out. Like, I heard some parents talking the other day. They're like, oh, it's not even when they leave your house, you still can't relax because then they grow up and then you have to worry about them as adults.
Yeah, it's a new trend these days. Like a lot of kids in inverted commas are simply like not leaving the nest, but it also has a lot to do with, you know, various factors, the economy, jobs, blah, 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 blah. So you're right.
I mean, one of the biggest problems is throughout the like Western world, kids are just staying in their parents' houses for much longer because they can't afford property. Buying property is so expensive and out of reach for most people, you know? I think that's really sad, if you ask me.
No, it's pretty messed up, especially if you know you're good for it, you can afford it, but the banks just don't want to approve the loan. They're just not interested in helping you out. But they're more than happy to give you like a loan for other things, you know, like if you just want to like borrow some money or whatever the case for like something short term, they'll give it to you. But when you need them for something real, like a car or a house, they're like, we're not sure about you. You're looking a little bit sus. So... It's pretty messed up. But no, Gareth, I will not be housing any of my five children when they are past the age of 18. No, they gotta go.
I can't imagine you putting up with kids. But listen, there was this story, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on this, about this restaurant in America that went viral after they charged a mother $50 for a bad parenting fee. Now, before I hear your opinion on this, because I actually think you might have a more nuanced opinion than people think about this, but I'm actually against people punishing. I've got to be very careful how I say this, because I've always thought if you're a bad parent and your kid behaves badly, you should be responsible. You know, like let's say your kid does something completely antisocial, then you should be charged with whatever that kid is. And I'm talking about crimes, right? Because there's something about parenting that, like, you are responsible. But I think doing this is very capricious, because what if the restaurant is just like owned by or run by someone who's just like a miserable person who hates kids, and they will find every excuse who has every excuse to like find parents guilty of stuff because they're an angry, bitter and twisted single person who's never had children. That's not good. Right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the first thing is, like, what was the child doing that would essentially equate the mother to being a bad parent, in inverted commas? Was the child making a noise? Were they disturbing other people? Blah. Like, we need to first, you know, get the receipts as far as what did this child. Yeah, we need the details, because I was in a Lyft flight going to Cape Town and coming back from Cape Town. And on both of those flights, there were kids, like little toddlers, making a shitload of noise, like, the whole time. But I sat there and I was like, dude, like, I paid for this ticket in the same way that the parents paid for this ticket. If I knew for a fact I did not want to be, you know, in any contact with this kind of potential, I should have booked British Airways, bloody, bloody, blah, that can, you know, assure me that I won't be engaging with any kids making noise. Some establishments are family friendly. If you don't want to be in a restaurant that has a kid that's making a noise, there's a restaurant next door that I promise will probably...
I mean, it's easier with restaurants, because there are those places that are not for children. Like, they explicitly say, you know, we are not a family restaurant. But if you are like a spur, you can't make a policy like this. If you're I have no problem with Spur. I'm not knocking them or praising them. I'm just saying, like, you expect to see kids at Spur, right? And there's the playground, and they've got those slides, and they've got. So if you go to one of those places, you know you're going to deal with kids.
Of course.
Similarly, I still wish there was an airline that was for, you know, if people wanted to pay a premium to not have children on the flight,
then
there should be an airline that does that. But if you're going on some like low cost flight and you've paid, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred,
like entry level,
then you really don't have a choice about who sits next to you. You don't have a choice about who's noisy or who's fat or any of that shit. But if you And I wish there was. I think it would be there would be a great gap in the market for an airline if we had enough airlines in this world. You know, maybe post-COVID, it's a little bit difficult to do. But there was a time where it was entirely within the parameters of the possible. And then, you know, if you paid in a little extra, you could be on a plane, or you could be in the front of the plane, let's say, and they're only babies like right at the arse end of the plane.
Yeah.
Who knows? But in a restaurant, you have the right of admission reserved, so you're allowed to say, "Well, we don't have children in this restaurant." But if you're a grumpy, sort of angry
prick,
single person who's never had a kid, and I'm often very aware of this, because I know people who just really hate children, and I'm not one of those people, right? But there are people like that. So, funny thing is that if you are one of those people and you go to a family-friendly place, you have no right to complain. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. And we've got so many options. You know, Gareth, there was a time where, as a parent, you could only go to one restaurant and take your kids, because there's like a play place. We all know. But now there's literally more options that you can go to. And also, like, when I think about we're taking the kids out for lunch, I don't want to be in a place, you know, where I can't let my kids run amok, go play, meet other kids, have child minors. They are they are built for that because they know at the nature of children is curiosity. Kids essentially are just in this world and they're like, whoa, what is that? What is this? They are going to be loud. They are going to ask questions. They are curious beings. And as a parent, you're not always going to be able to just control that and shut that down in order to accommodate John and Jack and Lucy, who are sitting next to you in the same restaurant. You know, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, when I heard that some restaurants allow, you know, little cats and little dogs to sit at the chairs, I was like, well, that would completely make me uncomfortable because, ew. But for some people, like, that is their thing and that is their vibe, you know? So just find a place that'll accommodate you and just keep it moving.
Well, this restaurant, so apparently what happens there is that they've decided they're implementing a bad parenting fee. So, like, let's say your kids are climbing all over the furniture and they're screaming and they're, like, drooling and they're causing all kinds of shit. Then the restaurant has the ability, because I suppose, you know, again, right of admission reserved, they can do what they want, that they will add a $50 fine to the bill. If your kids are, like, running through the restaurant screaming, well, if you know that the restaurant has that rule and maybe they say so at the door, I mean, they'd have to, right? They'd have to warn you beforehand. They can't just add $50.
Can't just do that. Yeah.
But if they do, let's say they tell you at the door or, you know, it's included in their terms and conditions. And when you book, someone says to you, well, listen, Miss Hosanna, I just want to tell you, like, we have this policy. Then you can always decide beforehand, okay, well, that's bullshit. I'm not going to do that and go somewhere else. Or you go,
definitely.
Okay, I better just know what my kids are up to. So I'm torn.
How? Show me one parent that is going to know what their kids are up to all the damn time. These little rascals are crazy, guys. They be thinking for themselves. They be all over the show. There's no parent that'll always know that, ha, this is exactly the thing. If you get to a restaurant and they say, look, bro, we have a rule that if your kids are doing ABC, you can't be here. Go next door, find another place, or maybe do it like a date night for you and your partner only. I just think we have to, you know, be lenient. But that restaurant can't charge you for that bad parenting. Because, again, what is bad parenting? What is exactly? If your child is called drooling, bad parenting.
What do you
kids
think?
Kids drool.
So what is bad parenting? You tell me.
Exactly. Well, lucky enough for you, Gareth, I actually recorded a whole episode. I've got a whole podcast on Life with Lebang about what bad parenting is, right? But to summarize, if you are in a public space for the purpose of those contexts, just, you know your children. Just be one-on-one with your kids and understand that if I take my child into this kind of environment, will they manage or not? Like, I can tell you for free, my kids cannot be on an airplane at this stage. They are too rowdy. They lack a lot of self-control. They're still at that age where they're curious about everything. So they'll be
like
all over the show.
So, yeah.
That as well. You know, so I'd have to book off the whole flight. But if you know your children well enough, gee, then, like, you can definitely make better decisions. Like, I know my kid, I just need to take out a book and then we'll be good to go. Or my kid suffers from blah, blah, blah. So maybe this is not a good idea. Know your children, read the room, make a decision. But as a restaurant owner, if you're going to charge somebody for bad parenting, then let's have a full page spread on your website as far as what bad parenting is.
Let's see what people in the comments are saying here and see if you and I are totally off the mark. So Mo Rabbit says, if you have a badly behaved children, go to Spur with the rest of the savages. It's not nice to Spur. That's hilarious. Kids will be kids, though, says Nico. They are meant to be loud and silly to test those boundaries. Who gave the restaurant management the power to find those bad parents? That can't be a law. What the fuck, says Vincent. Well, you can do what you want in your own establishment. It's your house, your rules. You know.
But again, find those bad parents. Like, what made them bad parents?
The restaurant can do what it wants. I mean, I remember going to a restaurant once where there was this really, really grumpy French chef, and he wouldn't allow you to put, like, salt and pepper on your food. And you just knew, even though it's your food and you paid for it, if you go to this grumpy French chef's restaurant, he's going to decide what you eat. And you just, that's part of the fun. And, you know, there are these restaurants in America where you go, you pay to be insulted, basically. And you sit down, like, the waitress is as rude as possible. And people love it because they're not used to that. You know, everybody's
part of the,
like,
experience.
Oh, the customer's king. So no, actually, sometimes they're not. And a lot of people who have restaurants love making food and love doing things their way. They're actually not that interested in customer service, which may sound counterintuitive, but that's part of what you get with some of these places. So up to them. Oh, please.
That's true.
It's going to be a long December. Play around and be serious in January. Oh, this is about Simpiwe. She says she's, Simpiwe is talking about relationships, which we'll get to on Friday, by the way. We'll get to that on the show. And then Mig says, at a barbershop in an open layout small mall, a child was screaming with every snip. The Karens they were not happy.
Shame. That poor child. Oof.
Some kids don't like having their hair cut, eh?
Like, a lot. Did you enjoy haircuts when you were a kid? Do you have any memories of, like, really loving that experience?
I don't remember, but I think we just had, like, my mom cut my brother and my hair until we were probably in primary school. So I don't think she ever took it. We weren't taken to the barber, you know? So here's an interesting point, though, being made by astrophysics. Some parents just sit on their ass and do nothing when their kids are being disruptive. Not saying kids can't be loud and be kids, but there's also some lazy parents. Now, that's a good point, too, right?
Yes, 100% agreed. And that goes back to knowing your children. If you spend enough time with your kids and you're not a lazy parent and you engage with your children on a daily basis and you understand them, then you will know what will and won't work for them. If you just sit on your ass and leave your kids to be rowdy, then you're also part of the problem. You actually can't complain. But if you participate in the parenting and being a child back and forth ongoing journey, then you'll understand what to do and when to do it. You know, it's not often that you're sitting and a child is being rowdy and the parents is going to be like, oh, come on, stop. The parent should stand up and really get involved and be like, okay, come, baby, let's work on this. If there's a parent that sits there, then the problem is the parent, never the child. It's highly likely that the problem is more likely the parents and not the child.
Well, exactly. He says, try raising your kids to be polite in public. We knew when and where to behave. My parents made sure of that. Well, that's
100% good.
That's where I think, like, parenting and Lebang, you're right. I mean, you know this better than anyone else, right? There's certain rules that you tell your kids. Okay, we're going out to have supper at a restaurant, which is an exciting, like, outing. This doesn't happen every day. And you better behave when you're there. In other words, no screaming at the top of your lungs, no running around with, like, a chicken drumstick in your hand, smacking other customers on the head, because otherwise we will put your ass in the car and take you home.
Sure.
My kids get too excited and are busybodies. When we go out, I bring an iPad so they can watch cartoons. It keeps them quiet while we're eating.
See, and you know that because you know your kids. And how do you know your kids? By engaging with your kids daily, understanding them as they grow. This is what they like. This is what they don't like. This is what they can do, et cetera, et cetera. You're not going to win this if you don't know your children, like, the end. There's no, like, copy paste of a child is a child is a child. Your child is a unique individual that you as a parent need to invest in and get to know them so you can understand how they respond to situations and stop making excuses.
Well, that's why this isn't like cut and dried. I can't believe that I don't have a strong opinion on this, because I have a strong opinion on so many things to do with parents and kids. But in this one, I kind of get the restaurant's right to do and impose any rule that it wants. But I also, I'm a little bit sympathetic to parents, because my God, is it difficult.
It's tricky, like, Gareth.
There's a limited number of places, right, that you can take your kids. A child should not be an excuse for them to terrorize anyone and everyone. Tethered has to be limits to it, irrespective of where you eat. Your screaming mistake tells us a lot about you. Oh, Don, very judgy. But you know what? Yes. Fair enough.
I mean, let's be honest.
Our own Bakabantu says, can we say that being a lazy parent who doesn't know their kids is a bad parent?
I think that's
fair.
Yeah, we kids can.
Snipe says, kids who cry or roll on the floor on Black Friday and festive seasons, parents have a lot to deal with these days.
It's not even just festive season and Black Friday. When you take your kids out to the mall in general, and it depends on their age, of course, but you should be ready for whatever. They will want whatever they see on the aisles. They will want to buy everything, grab every toy. Again, how you discipline your kids at home, how you engage with your kids at home will obviously show in the outside world. What's happening in public is essentially how you are parenting in private. So make sure you've got it on lock in private, or at least intentionally working towards it, so that when you are out in the mall, your child isn't embarrassing you, getting you fines at restaurants, and you know, right, you're having to shout and. Just make sure you get it on lock. And kids these days are completely different to how we grew up. Now it's like they want everything because they're exposed to everything. They want every single thing that they see online. And how do you say no politely without them having a panic attack? You know, it's a lot.
That's a whole other thing. Is I think that there are really irritating, painful parents who just pander to everything they want. And that's just as bad as the Karens and all the others, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Definitely. All right, so Yonda wants to know from you, Lebang. You say, what is a bad parent? But you agree with comments that point out what these are. Bad parents exist, and I see it most of the time at homes and in public. So what do you think, in terms of child's behavior, what would you find it appropriate to blame the parents for?
As far as appropriate to blame the parents for, it's unruly behavior that the parents can't control. And all of that goes back to, I don't spend enough time with my child, and therefore I don't know how to manage them during this time. So for example, a two-year-old who's a toddler. Toddlers have to go through, you know, these freaking out experiences. They have to go through little rage moments because they are toddlers. It's part of the growing up process. If you as a parent don't know how to manage that or identify that, this is what my child is experiencing, you are essentially a bad parent because you're not parenting intentionally or well enough to understand that, you know what, this is the phase that my child is going through. Let me let them finish, and then we can sit down and talk about it. If you're just going to sit back and be like, stop what you're doing, shouting and, you know, not trying to understand what your child is experiencing, then that says to me that you're not intentionally being a parent. And in my opinion, that does make you a bad parent because you're not understanding your child. You're not making the efforts to understand your child. If you've got a two-year-old, maybe don't go to restaurants because you know two-year-olds are going to have these experiences. Or go to restaurants that allow it.
Yeah, I like a two-year-old. Is that the toughest age of all?
Definitely. Like the toddler phase, I'm going through it twice because I've got two that are around that age. It's chaos. It's manic. I intentionally have to really think about, okay, I want to take the kids out, but I know we can't go to, like, you know, a Papa's at Santon. Let me maybe try something else. You know what I mean? Like, I understand what my kids are going through right now. But also, Gareth, that's because I'm an intentional parent. You know, I understand my children. I spend so much time with them. So if we are in situations where I'm like, okay, it's about to pop off, I need to be ready. I need to be prepared.
I think this is pretty damn interesting. There's no cut and dried way. Apparently, if you want to see bad parents, Andy says, watch a movie called Old Dads. Flip, I Someone Got Angry. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, but I will.
Old Dads.
And Kampamba says, I think this is quite sensible, as adults, we mostly can have kids, but choose not to for good reasons. If you choose to have them, your decision must not spoil my night out. Discipline your children or keep them at home.
You have to discipline your children. You have to, absolutely, or else they will be in charge.
And of course, because they're always pushing to see how far they can push you. And Lindy says, I think this is also sensible, 2 and 3 hardest years when they're growing up, they lose their shit because they can't communicate their frustration. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. They just don't have the words. They don't have the vocab. So all they do is just, it's body language. They scream. So
apparently you know about the new rules for Airbnb in Cape Town in November. Are these real rules or are these just rules that you've made for yourself?
So this is what I'm trying to figure out, right? Like, because I don't often use Airbnb. I told you I got banned from the app, but that's a story for another day. Anyway.
Jesus, how embarrassing.
Oh, dude, I won't lie. When I say it out loud, I'm like, oh, shit, actually. We're staying at this Airbnb, and we all had to, like, give our IDs, right? It was like a 3-sleeper or like a 3-bedroom, 6-sleeper. So everybody that was going to be sleeping there had to submit their IDs. So one of my friends was like, why do we all have to give our IDs? Can't just the person booking? And I was like, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And that person who I'm speaking of is like a lawyer. So he was like, oh, I'm not necessarily comfortable with this because da 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 da. I'm like, okay, cool. But this is what the owner of the Airbnb is asking. Let's all just submit. We submit. So now, rules is rules, baby. And this is Cape Town. So now we want to have some friends over at this Airbnb. Now they also have to submit their IDs, even if they're only there for like 2 hours. Mm. Yo, Gareth, it was like,
yeah,
do we have to, like, there's a line, there's like a limit, right? I get you, the owner of an Airbnb, you're trying to keep your security tight and you don't want to let any Tom, Dick and Harry in, but you already have 6 IDs of the people that are staying there. Now the maybe 1 or 2 extra guests who just want to visit also have to, I don't know. I figured if there's any place where I can speak, it's here, because there's probably people that own Airbnbs in the comments, because I need to understand the logic as far as what is the line.
Yeah, what do we think of these rules? Talk about like it's parents hot. And their rules. Like, this is another whole different world. I mean, see, again, there's this balance of responsibilities and rights. You know, as a client, you get to decide where you want to stay and whether or not you will go with those rules or not. But sure. The place that sets the rules doesn't have to let you in if you don't want to follow them.
That is the truth. However, Gareth, in this context, we're speaking about a person's identification document. Like, it's not just a child screaming or disrupting other people. Do you know what I mean? This is a
I mean,
this is a closed area. This is a home for the day type thing, where you know who's already going to be there.
Straight up, first of all, this idea that your ID, if you give it to somebody or they take a copy of your ID, like this is some huge invasion of your privacy, is just such bullshit, because we all know
that everybody has
your number already, whether you like it or not. Am I wrong?
Your cell number, yes. But your ID number, I'm not comfortable just giving it out to anyone. People are getting scammed just by knowing your ID number. At Home Affairs, dude, those lines are back. Because somebody just got access to my ID number and then they applied for this, that. I've got a friend who actually works in banking, and this is what they deal with. She deals with on the daily. Hi, I think I've been scammed. What happened? They took my ID number, but it's a real thing.
Okay, so we should be extra cautious about who we give our IDs to. So is that your main concern, or is it just like bureaucracy and admin? Because I kind of hate the bureaucracy and admin too.
It's definitely the latter. Of course, we should be careful about who we give our ID to. But more than that, I'm trying to be on holiday, bro. I'm just hang out with my friends. You've got mine. I'm the person that booked. You have my details. Why do you need the details of every single person that I'm going to be with in that environment? You know?
Well, maybe because you hang around with dodgy looking people. Maybe that's the story. And they're like, oh no.
You know, maybe it's me.
We better check out all of her friends' IDs to make sure that they're all legit, because they look like they could like
the irony is that when we were downstairs having this argument with the security guard, we actually bumped into the person that owns the building. Middle-aged, white, fantastic guy who just loves life. And he's like, oh my gosh, where are you guys going? Are you guys fine? Don't worry, let them up. I was like,
he broke the rules because he liked you.
He broke the rules because we clearly aren't that bad looking. And, you know, I think he had a crush on one of my friends and whatever the case is. But the point is,
then so the security guard was the one being a pain in the ass here.
Because the rules are the rules, right? And if he fumbles the rules, he loses his job. And the rules are, don't let anybody up if you don't have a copy of their ID. And then the owner of the building happened to just be walking past, and he was looking great and loving life, and was like, oh, why are there so many people here? And then the security's like, no, IDs. But I was like, oh, come on, just let them up. So again, like, do you see what I mean? Your rules are there, but you're not implementing your own rules. Now we all went out of our way, gave you a copy of our IDs. It was just such a tedious little thing that I don't know if I agreed with.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do here, because obviously they have their rules.
Sure, as they should.
And obviously this guy broke his own rules because he liked the look of you guys, which is such a weird reason to do something. But anyway, it happened.
So weird. Yeah, yeah.
So you got away with it. So it's not an issue.
Yeah, I got away with it now, but I'm not always going to get away with it, Gareth. I'm not always going to be, you know, as good looking as sometimes, I am now.
But sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're not. That's the only thing that I pull out of this, is like, some days it's your day, some days it's not.
Am I allowed to ask, what is, like, once you have this information and you have my ID, like, what is the purpose of having it? What is your, am I allowed to ask that, or must I just sit and take it as it is and be like, oh, rules are always,
I think you're always allowed to ask what people want with your ID.
Oh, definitely.
Why do you need this? I think, you know, it's like, for example, they can't search your car at a roadblock without like explaining to you why they need to search your car or whether they've got a warrant or whatever. They can't just, you know, the police can't pitch up at your house and say, hey, we're going to rifle through your possessions. They need to explain themselves. Yeah. I don't think that's unfair or unreasonable. Huh?
Yeah, then I should have done that. I just kind of like let it slide because I didn't want to be that person. But a part of me was like, this is not as chilled as I thought it would have been.
Well, let's see if anybody disagrees. Pretty privilege, says Tracy. That's fair. That happens all the time. I've always said that's the number one privilege in the world is pretty privilege.
It is.
If they see you and they go, oh, well, she's good looking. I'll let her slide this time. But when some fat, ugly person walks in, you're like, sorry. Of course, it's unfair, but it happens. 100% right. When you see the damage done and accounts not paid, also some body corporates insist.
That is true. No, Gareth is actually very right. In fact, Sweet Pea, you're right. There are cases where some people will book Airbnbs and then they'll completely trash them. They'll mess it up. Welcome back, Gareth. So I'm saying some people will book your Airbnb and they'll completely trash it and they will damage the property. They will steal your shit and you'll sit there and you'll be like, damn it, I should have taken everybody's IDs. So I get it. But everybody's IDs? Or just the person that's booking?
Again, if let's say it was your property, okay? And this is, you were renting out your own house that you live in. What would your rules be? And what kind of things would you insist on before you'd let people use your house?
Firstly, I'd have to strip my house. I'd have to strip my house of everything that I care for and that's expensive.
Because you know obviously, like shit.
People be people and trust people to behave like human beings. I think the first rules obviously would be things like no throwing parties. I'd have like a maximum number of guests limit, like between a certain time. So after like 8 p.m., if the people aren't sleeping over, you know, if they're not part of the people that are, then they have to leave. That kind of thing. Sign at security, blah, 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 blah. Like just like those kinds of things. But I will not expect every single person that's going to walk into the property to give me a copy of their ID. Like more than anything, I'd expect the person that's booking, because that's the person I'm dealing with. That's the person who's been vetted by the Airbnb app. That's the person who I'm going to rate after the experience. You know what I mean? But I guess things are different for everybody. And what about you, G? What are some of the rules that you'd install? We know no shitting.
No, so look, I would never, first of all, I would never rent out the house I actually live in, even if it could make me a lot of money. Because I've got all my stuff lying around and it's not a hotel. Like it's my home and I've got pictures with family and I've got all sorts of stuff in my house that makes it my house. And I'm the only one who lives here. I wouldn't even let people stay here if I'm not in the house and if they do stay here for more than one night. So that's out of the question. But I mean, I have, you know, owned property in the past and then let tenants stay there and you've got to have some rules. But I'm not a draconian landlord. As long as you don't ruin the place, break it down, I can't really tell you. I can't tell you what someone's doing there when I'm not there. And I'm not, it's none of my business, really. If they're paying their rent, they wouldn't do. I do think, though, that they're, you know, people can decide because you can rate them and they can rate you on Airbnb, right?
Exactly. It's a two-way thing.
Oh. So I think you've got to have rules, but it's also up to the people who are staying there that they want to abide by those rules or not. And we've got festive season coming up, which means there's a huge demand for accommodation in places like Cape Town. And if the demand is higher than the supply, then the people who own the B&Bs can decide the rules. They've got more leeway.
Yeah.
If supply outstrips demand, then the customer can come in and say, I'm not going to abide by those rules. So this is what works. And this is what's so beautiful about the free market. And the people don't understand is you always have the right in the free market to say, you know what? These are my conditions. And then the person who's selling you something or that you're buying something from They can decide, well, these are my rules. And you come to arrangements. Otherwise, you just walk away. Nobody's forcing you, compelling you to do it.
Please check out Tracy's comment. I love it. It's literally exactly what we're speaking of.
All right. So she says, in June, we were a group of friends. We booked an Airbnb. We had a horrible weekend. Place was cockroach infested, one working bathroom between 13 people, and we were stuck in floods, et cetera, et cetera. Oof, Jesus, that sounds bad. The Airbnb then stalked us on all of our socials to see if we had a bad time. We had kids with us, made the best of a cuck situation. He refused to give us a refund. The owner also lied about the state of the road leading to his Airbnb. My one friend wrote off two wheels getting there. Yeah, you see?
People like
that, you've got to give really bad reviews to, and you should be allowed to, if they've lied, I mean, that's terrible.
They lie,
Didn't you go to some place a while ago and they put up pictures, but the pictures were nothing like the place?
It didn't match. Yeah, it didn't match at all. If anything, like, you can see that after the fact, when you look at the pictures again, you're like, wait a minute, this is one of those Pinterest images, man. They just downloaded this from Google and they just talk so much trash and they get all of their friends to write the reviews. Like, I really enjoyed my stay there. It was amazing. When you go there, you're like, wait, what's going on? Yeah, you have to really be careful. And I don't even trust thingies anymore, hey G. Reviews. Like, reviews have lost their, you know, that thing. Because back in the day, it was like, oh, if the review on Hello Pizza or What Tomato, if the review is a 5-star, you know it's going to rock. Now it's like there's bots, there's this, there's that. Ugh. Yeah.
Well, again, you're going to get crooks on both sides. You're going to get people who come and stay in an Airbnb and then they don't pay. And they bugger around. I mean, you're going to get people who just are assholes and want to leave a bad review and will do that no matter what, because they just got a shitty attitude. And then you're going to end up with B&B owners who lie about the place and put up fake photos and make it sound like it's way better than it is and won't give you a refund if you've been totally messed around. So you've got to, again, be on the lookout for crooks, because they are everywhere.
They truly are. This?
How many times have you been scammed? I mean, like, there's an ongoing joke on the show, right?
Dude, it's an ongoing joke for y'all. For me, it's my real life. The lady who scammed me of a Christmas tree last year is back in action. I saw her. She posted on Facebook this week. Okay, same picture, same description.
So wait, just remind us of the scam with the Christmas tree, because I've forgotten about it.
Yeah, it's one of many. But the Christmas tree scam was basically this lady that lives, I think it was like Bolu, somewhere fancy in Kailami. And she was like, hey, I've got this Christmas tree. It's only $700, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me send you $350 now. Hold on to it for me. And then I'll pay you the rest on Friday. She's like, dude, perfect. Say no more. I send her the money. And then now I'm ready with the other half. I'm blocked, blah, blah, blah. There's like, I can't reach her. She's no longer on Facebook. She doesn't exist. So eventually I'm like, okay, cool. Clearly I got scammed, whatever. Dog, the exact same image, exact same Christmas tree image, exact same description. She hasn't changed anything. Hi, I'm Charlene from Kailami, and I'm selling this Christmas tree for $750. If anybody wants it, first come, first serve. I'm like, bitch. Like, that's my Christmas tree from last year.
Yes, you have the worst luck, hey?
Ah, Doug. Doug.
I love the way that we all take the piss and we laugh, but it, to me, it's just kind of ridiculous how you just collect scammers.
Like, I should actually go on a thing where we find scammers and make them known and put them to, you know, to justice or something, because wow.
You should be like Isabel Jones was in the 90s. She used to have this Fair Deal program, and she would go and she would bust scammers, and she'd bust all these people who were like putting fake products up. And you could call it, you know, Lebung's losses or something. And you just go to all the places and all the people, and you hire like a private investigator.
No, and here's why I say no, because I did hire a private investigator for one of my other previous scams, and he scammed me too for $4,000. I was so mad.
Sorry.
I shouldn't be mad. Laughing. Like, it sucks. It sucks. But part of my New Year's resolutions 2024, you know, just be an anti-scam attractor. Why am I always, you know, attracting these scams? Yes, I just need to stay clear of them. Yeah.
All right. Be a new person. But you speak about Christmas trees. Is it time to have your Christmas tree up already?
I think so. I'm ready to go. I'm good to go. I just don't have decorations yet. But if I had them, I would have put it up like at least 2 weeks ago. Like, I'm just like that kind of person. I want my kids to be involved in it. I want us to all like put it up together and like make it a thing. You know, like how we do here at Cliff Central. Like, it's nice. It's fun, you know? So yeah, it's not up yet. Is yours up yet?
No, I have a hard and fast rule about Christmas trees. So I only put mine up around the 12th of December, because there's this thing, I don't know, must be some Christian tradition that I have just inherited because that's the culture. So I don't ask why, but I think, you know, that there's that carol, the 12 days of Christmas. So apparently you're meant to have your Christmas tree up 12 days before and 12 days after.
That's the first time I'm hearing of this.
Okay, so you're not going to, like, if you tell me it's bullshit, it's not going to change my behavior, because that's just how I'm used to doing it. So I will only put mine up on the 12th of December, which is still a couple of days away.
Yeah, and that still also gives you a bit of time. So it'll come down early Jan, first week or so?
It's got to be down before, I think, the 6th of Jan. Because also, once Christmas is over, I don't want to see any of that stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, but they're also really quick with it. Like, the shops, like, very soon after Christmas, it's already back to school. They're telling you about stationery. Like, for them, it's all just, you know, chop, chop, chop. Let's keep it going. I'm going to definitely try to get mine up as soon as possible. Then there's people that just keep it up as, like, part of the house decor. Or they've been lazy to put it down. Now it's up all year. Come on, guys. Get your shit together. Come on.
Some of these shops have had their Christmas stuff up since October. So, and I have to be honest, I haven't been to the shops for a little while, so I haven't really paid attention. But I see them. There's that big Christmas tree outside Sandton City, which is right near our offices. I've seen that a couple of times. And then somebody's asking here, what are the budgets for Black Friday? Snipes wants to know. So Black Friday is this Friday.
Let me check my calendar. I think so. If it's the 22nd, Black Friday is this Friday.
Okay. Right. So 24th. What are we doing? Are you looking for anything? Are you going to be scammed anywhere in particular this year?
Any scams that I'm looking forward to? So I think with Black Friday, right, the trick is to know what it is that you need, right? If you go there as a blank canvas, you'll take things that you don't even need just for the sake of it. But if you know that this is my list of four things that I genuinely have been looking for all year, and I would like to get a better price on them and a better deal, then you can go in there. But just don't get caught up in the hype, because conspiracy is that there's actually not a lot of savings. Like, they hike the prices up in October and in August, and then in November and Black Friday, they just put them back down to the original price and say, aha, discount. So we're just being fooled by these stores and these establishments.
Okay, so you don't have, know that you're the last person we should be asking, but no specific advice from you, Labang. Is this what you're
telling us? Well, that was my advice, and use at your own risk as well.
All right. Anybody who wants to take Labang's advice, just be advised on the side that this is not always the best way to go.
Unless it's about parenting, but anything else, you know, the views of these individuals are not the views of Cliff Central, blah, 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 T's and C's apply.
All right. So what do you have any, can't believe I'm asking you this. Do you have any tips? So Lebang, here, according to Bakabantu, we all want a TV for Black Friday. It doesn't matter how many TVs you have. Now
That's how they get you.
What is this obsession that we have in South Africa with, like, buying more TVs than you could possibly ever need?
Honestly,
what is that?
Every room in the house. There's houses that have TVs in the bathroom, my boy. While you're taking a bubble bath, watching stuff, kitchen for recipes, click it, lounge, click it, everything, passage, click it.
Who wants a TV every? Why are we? What's the thing with TVs? Someone explain this to me.
I blame Macro. Have you ever walked into a Macro on Black Friday? These massive, huge TVs inside these tiny trolleys, and you know every year you're buying that same TV, Margaret. You're just getting up a few more inches. It's like an addiction. I don't know, but it's funny.
One TV in my house, and it's the same one I've had for 12 years. I'm so proud of myself.
Sure. Good on you, Gareth. Good on you.
Tabo says Black Friday doesn't excite me anymore. it's all a scam. If they still sold slaves, maybe slaves. So Tabo's only going to get involved in Black Friday if they sell slaves.
Insensitive. Hey.
That's going to upset some work people. Can you imagine?
Yes, no. There'll be something out already. Like Tabo Pali from the Gareth Cliff Show commented, and Gareth and Lebang just laughed.
Cancel him. Oh, yeah, Jesus. I didn't put it up, but I'm going to today. I'm going to put up this funny thing. Instead of giving presents this year, I'm giving everyone my opinion. Be excited.
Oh, joy. Oh,
yeah, like joy. You don't get enough of my opinion on this show.
Every day, every single day. What are you looking for, G, for Black Friday, if anything? Do you not participate? Are you not the guy?
Tell you what, I'm staying the hell away. So what I've done is I've found this really cool present for, and I'm only buying for family this year. I know you're organizing a secret Santa at the office, so I have to contribute to that. But
did you pick a name yet?
No, I haven't. How do I do that? Are you going to bring me an envelope?
There's an envelope on your desk, yeah, with names on it.
Someone's making me call. It says, I've got a cathode ray TV from like the 1930s.
I wonder, is your TV smart? Is it a smart TV? Can you like watch Netflix and stuff?
Let's say it's a middling intelligence TV. It's not smart. It's not a stupid TV, but it's not like I wouldn't put it up against your TV.
Okay.
in an intelligence competition, however that would work. So I don't really look for anything for Black Friday.
Okay.
Because I know if I go onto one of these tech websites or these, you know, take a lot, so I'm going to find something and then I'm going to go, maybe I should buy that. That's just a bad idea. Just a bad idea. Because if you don't need it, don't even look for it. And for buying presents for other people, I think it's got to be something thoughtful. You've got to really think about that person and what sort of stuff you think they would want. And that's a different kettle of fish completely. That's not about just buying something on Black Friday. So I'll save that for when, you know, I'm doing my Christmas shopping, which usually happens at the last minute, and then I'll figure it out.
Good on you, Gareth. I don't think I've received a Christmas present in years. Like, I just haven't gotten one. Like, hey, Lebang,
Merry Christmas. Guess who's feeling sorry for herself because she hasn't had a present for years.
Oh, woe is me. I have been gifting, though, a lot. Like, all my kids every year, like, there's this tradition of buying Christmas clothes, like, where your kids have to come out looking fresh and clean on Christmas Day. Yeah. Like, it's a whole vibe. So looking forward to shopping for the kids and getting them toys and whatever the case is. But the toys never make it to Jan. Always just mess up the toys before we even go back to school. I promise you. It is what it is. Like, I'm telling you, dog, you buy the presents, they open them up on Christmas, and by like the 3rd of Jan, those same presents are dusted. The remote control car is in 7 pieces. The Barbie doll is all over the place. It's chaos, but it is what it is. It's part of the journey.
All right. Yeah. Okay, let's just talk about something else. There's some new lingo in the world. We're going to get to some news just before 7, but there's new lingo. What is ROMO? I know what FOMO is. I know what JOMO is. FOMO, of course, the fear of missing out. JOMO is the joy of missing out, which I definitely have. But what is ROMO?
So JOMO and ROMO are probably like, you know, same WhatsApp group. ROMO is the relief of missing out, where you're like, phew, I wasn't pressurized to participate in those funny things. And the older and older I get, the more ROMO I have about stuff. Like, I'm not really in that point where it's like, oh, tomorrow there's a party. Let's go. I go to the things I want to go to, and I just stay away from the things I'm not interested in. And I'm quite impressed with myself for figuring this out, because I consider myself a little bit of a non-spring chicken. So there's terms that are coming out every day, like on TikTok, on X, where I'm like, what does this mean? What are they saying? I have to ask Simpiwe.
Are you keeping up with all this stuff?
Well, you know, that's why having Simpiwe, Aaron, and Ryan in the office helps, because then they can translate and you don't feel as old anymore. But this one I figured out on my own. ROMO, it'll be in the Urban Dictionary very soon. You heard it here first.
Right. Okay, well, now we know. You've just given us a shortcut. So thank you for that, because who needed to know about Romo? Me. But it's basically the same as Jomo.
I know.
All right. So apparently, there was this plane that flew out of John F. Kennedy Airport en route to Belgium, and a horse got loose in the cargo hold. Now, I didn't know that you could be on a passenger plane. This was a Boeing 747. And meanwhile, down underneath you in the cargo hold, there could be a fucking horse.
Not a whole horse. Maybe like a little papiñana. A horse.
A whole horse broke loose, and they had to turn the plane around, go back, tranquilize the poor thing. It got injured, because obviously if it gets out, can you imagine the first of all, the fear of that poor horse?
Shame.
You imagine, you're like a horse, you don't know what the hell's going on. Suddenly,
like,
you're
where am I?
Well, you're in this closed thing. You can hear just noise. Maybe there are other animals in there as well. I mean, it's just, this is frightening, right?
That is quite scary. That is quite scary.
Jesus.
Damn. Poor horse.
Poor horse. And I would be pissed off if I were one of the people on that plane and then they had to turn around because of this stupid horse and the fact that these people hadn't secured it properly.
Yeah, but it's not the stupid horse, Gareth. It's the stupid people who are responsible for making sure that the horse, you know, knows what's up, is tied into its thing. Like,
stupid horse.
No, it's not stupid horse. It's stupid humans.
The horse is just minding its business.
The horse didn't say, I want to fly to another country. Put me in an airplane. I've never flown before. The horse was just galloping away. Someone decided, I want to move you to my country so that we can make money off of you. Do races, do horse races. And now look, I blame humans.
Stupid horse. All right. So horrible story, but they managed to, they managed to bring everything under control. And it climbed to 31,000 feet when the crew contacted air traffic control in Boston to report that the horse had escaped. I don't know. And maybe someone who's been in a plane or been on cabin crew or whatever, you could tell us how this works. Can you get into the cargo hold from the passenger hold? Because I remember watching Air Force One with Harrison Ford years ago, and it's about how the American president gets hijacked in his plane. And I'm wondering about whether or not the two cabins are even linked. So if somebody knows, I'd be really interested in that. But anyway, apparently the horse, which had partially escaped its stall, had to be euthanized. So shame they had to put it down due to its injuries. I mean, what a horrible thing to happen. Poor horse.
So we agree, poor horse.
Look, you stop it, all right? You know what I mean. Oh, it's just, what a situation.
Nah, that's so uncool. Very uncool.
What? Horrible. What a thing to happen. Anyway. Yeah. And while we're talking about these planes, this is going to make you nervous just ahead of the holidays, but a US-bound plane took off from London last month with four damaged windows, including two that were completely missing, according to UK air accident investigators. The single-aisle aircraft, which was an Airbus A321, could seat more than 170 passengers. A small group of passengers were seated in the middle of the cabin just ahead of the overwing exits. The missing windows weren't discovered until the plane was at 13,000 feet.
How, Sway?
Now, these are the least observant people you've ever met in your life on this plane, because several passengers recalled that after takeoff, the aircraft cabin seemed noisier and colder than they were used to. A crew member walked towards the back of the aircraft where he spotted a window seal flapping on the left side of the aircraft. This bunch of people on this plane must have been some of the dumbest people, because they only realized with the noise and the cold. No one was even looking at the windows. When I sit down at a window seat, I look at the window. Don't you?
Yeah, with the plane, obviously, it's not just like one slab of glass, right? It's like the actual glass, and then the side, the one on the side, then there's the one on the inside. It's not just like one thing. So if that whole thing is gone, then somebody needs to get fired, and it has to be someone in the crew. I'm sorry, we can't blame passengers. I blame the crew. You guys, no. It's an Airbus. You guys work on it. You walk up and down all the time.
Passengers. No, I know, but passengers, like if I saw that my window was not sealed properly, I'd be like, excuse me, bing. Listen, there seems to be a problem here because I don't want to take a chance getting up there into the stratosphere and then suddenly you've got like cold air rushing out, rushing like, in, sucking everything off into the... Yeah, you don't want that, but I do agree.
I blame the captain.
It's the job of the crew and the captain, for sure.
Like you see, at that point when he says, "This is the captain speaking, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to flight from blah, 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 blah," that's where he should say, "Please note, we've got some missing windows and the back aisles. Blah, blah. Inform us. We need to know what's going on."
Alice says, "Lebang, I respect your opinions, but your horse voice is completely inaccurate. Horses don't speak like that."
My bad. You know, I've been slacking on BoJack Horseman lately. Whoopsie.
Dave says, "It sounds like a scene from the Hangover movie." And Migs says, "More glue when they put that horse down for the rest of us." How mean.
Migs.
Slippery Pickle says, "Apparently, if you Google strategic paths between cargo hold and passenger compartment, I'm sure no security agencies will notice." So they do have ways of getting into the cargo hold. And VB wants to know, like, imagine if you got your luggage on the conveyor belt and your luggage comes out full of horse shit.
Who do you sue?
This is not cool. This would make me very uncomfortable. The horse and the unsealed window.
Look, ignorance is bliss. What I don't know won't hurt me. Put the horse down there. Put snakes down there. Put whatever you want. As long as I don't interface with it,
right,
it's sharp. The less I know, the better.
Well, when we come back, I will introduce our special guest for the morning. We recorded this on Monday because he was in Johannesburg for the first time in a long time. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing from this guy, especially in the couple of months leading up to our election. It's always good to speak to people who have an experience of politics from the inside. And I'll tell you who that guest is in just a moment. As for Lebang and I, we're done for this morning, but we will be back in just a moment. I'll be back in just a minute or two to introduce our guest, which is, I'm sure, going to be one of your favorite interviews of the last couple of weeks. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. It is Wednesday morning. This is CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.